12th chapter of the book of Mark. And very explicit picture today that will go right along with the testimonies and the questions or question that you had. I hope this message will reveal the answer that you need today. And all of us this morning, that we need to hear a word from God that will illustrate to us that God is bigger than all the problems. Many of us are in a time of uncertainty. And within ourselves, to Brother Lloyd's preaching this morning, that sometimes we try to work it out ourselves. We try to supersede God. We try to get ahead of Him and figure it all out for ourselves. But when it comes right down to us, none of us know what tomorrow holds. None of us. Only God knows what the remainder of this day and tomorrow and the next day and for all eternity holds for you and I. But here in the book of Mark, in the 12th chapter, starting at verse 28, reading down through and including verse 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all thy soul, with all of thy mind and with all of thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And stop reading there in verse 34 this morning. And you can go over to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter and find that. It says that there was a certain lawyer that stood up and tempted him, trying to put him on the spot about this question, which is the greatest of all the commandments. Go back to the book of Matthew and you'll find in the 22nd chapter where it was presented as well. But this morning I'd like to bring to you a message entitled, Not Far from the Kingdom of God. Not far. You see, this man that had these questions, I believe, was earnest with the Lord. He did not want to make any mistakes along his journey of life. So he wanted to know, with of all the commandments, which is the greatest of them all. Because we know the commandments, as we have them posted here on the wall, that God gave to Moses upon the mount is for us, not for God. God gave them that man might follow those commandments, but yet the Bible says that no man has been able or will be able to keep all the commandments in their fullness. But yet if we break one part of the law, we are guilty of all of it. No matter how good you might be, and I believe this man, this scribe that came, was sincere about his question. He wanted to make sure that he didn't miss the mark, so to speak, that he made everything right along his journey. The Bible even gives us another example of a man who was very wealthy, and he wanted also to go to heaven when he died, if you'll have it that way this morning. But there was one thing that stood between him and God, and that was his money. It's not that money will take you to hell, but the Bible teaches us that the love of money is the root of all evil. And whatever we put before God becomes our God. Whether it's money, success, anything in life that we put before him is a God unto us. But this man was, I believe he was very serious about this question to the Lord. He'd heard him talk before this, and the question came from his heart. Which is the greatest? Well, the first commandment. What should I do? Which one is more important that I ought to pay attention to? And the Lord said unto him, you must love God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second one is that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, there's no greater commandments than these. No other commandments that's more important, if you'll have it. In fact, if you do these two, you'll keep the rest of them. Amen? If you do these two, you'll keep the rest. But I thought this week, as God laid this upon our heart, how many people like this man have been so close to the kingdom of God but never make it there? How many? A few weeks ago, you remember, we preached a message and about Christ telling Nicodemus that you must be born again. And yet I said in that message, nowhere in the scripture do we find that Nicodemus ever said that he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, even though we find he was there with Joseph to help in the burying of our Lord and Savior. Whether he was saved or not, I know not. But I believe he was a good man, and he wanted to be right with God. But whether he ever got there or not, I don't know. How many of our people have sat under old-time preaching and walked away lost and undone, so close to the kingdom of God, so close to getting what they needed more than anything else? Because you see, they sang that song, and it, silver and gold will only get you so far. Hard work will only get you so far. Being a good person will only get you so far. But you must be born again in order to inherit the kingdom of God. How many people today are in hell that was so close to getting salvation in their life, but died lost and undone? How many people are in our lives that we know of that sat under old-time conviction in the house of God? God spoke to them, and yet they got up and walked out the door, never publicly professing the Lord. And Christ said, if you be ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of before you, before my Father and the angels which are in heaven. How many people have been right there at the decision and chose not to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Some may say to us today, but Roger, you know that I'm a good person. Here we see that this man, I believe, was a good person, Brother Lloyd. I believe that as being a scribe, which was an interpreter of the law. And people say, well, here it says a scribe, and then you said over in Luke it says a lawyer. You could say that they are one and the same. A scribe was there in the synagogue. They knew what the book said. They knew exactly what it meant when God said in His Word that the commandments, you must keep them in all of their fullness, and the man who breaks the commandments is guilty of sin and will surely die. Did you know if you broke one of the laws, death was your punishment? Just one of them. If God was to send judgment on America today, I'm afraid a lot of people would die. Aren't you? Because they've broken the commandments. And the greatest of the commandments is, thou shalt have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Without Him, they have nothing to hold on to. Some would say, I'm a good person. Being good's not good enough. Some would say, as they said to Jesus, I've done many wonderful works in thy name. We've cast out demons. We've healed sick people. We've done all kinds of good works. But Jesus said He would say unto them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Some would say, I was a church member. Did you know church membership will take you to hell? If you depend on being a member of the right church, how do you know you're in the right church? And some just jump from church to church trying to find one that will tell them how good they are. The Bible says that there is none good, no, not one. Every one of us was so close, but yet we were so far away. I remember the time when Becky and I, many years ago when I was farming, we had the opportunity to buy a farm. It was 100 acres. And we did the loan and we tried our best to buy that farm. But the bank would only loan us $99,000 and the woman wanted $100,000. She wouldn't come down $1,000 and we could not put together $1,000. We were so close, but yet we were so far. You know I didn't get it, right? How many of you have been close to getting something that you wanted in your life, only to get there at the door, but never really get to enjoy what you was longing for? Many of our people today are longing for something in their life to fill the emptiness that's in there. They're searching, they're looking for, what can you tell me about the Word of God that will give me some peace in my heart and my soul about my eternity? And there's only one answer, as we preached in that message a few weeks ago. You must be born again by the Spirit of God. You could keep, if it were possible, you could keep all of the commandments and still die and go to hell. But you say, but didn't Jesus say, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law? The fulfillment of the law was this: no one could keep it. Jesus came as a mediator, hallelujah, to say what you could not keep, I will pay the price for all of your sins and make an atonement so that you are able to go to heaven when you die. Some have said, that's too hard for us. You mean God expects me to keep those laws that He has given to us? It's too hard, and rightfully so. But did you know, to Becky's point and to your question this morning, that when you get saved again, it is not hard to keep the law of God, but you want to keep the law of God. Not that you're worried about what kind of recompense might come, but you want to because you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. How many of you love Him this morning with all that you have within you? And yet you could love God and still go to hell because You must be born again. I've got family members, and I believe some of your family members this morning that are so close to the kingdom of God. They're good people. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that church is good for you. But if they never get more than that, they will go to a devil's hell for all eternity. This is not just a good place to be. This is the place to be. Once God has saved you, you ought to want to be in the house of the Lord. It ought not to be hardiest for you to go to the God's house. It ought to be a pleasure to get to go to God's house. You may have joined a church. You may have gone into a room and talked to the deacons and the preacher. You may have even joined a church and got baptized. That does not mean that you are saved. What tells you that you are saved is when you prayed and called out to God, asked for forgiveness of your sins, and you felt the burden of sin, lift it off of your shoulders. You got up and you walked in a newness of life, not because the church expected it, not because the preacher expected it, but because God changed you from the inside to the outside. Once you get saved, you don't want to go back to the hog pen that God brought you out of. They say, that's good for old folks, but I'm middle-aged or I'm young. Doesn't God want me to live my life, sow my seeds, and enjoy life for a while? I believe this with all my heart this morning. If you want a good life, you get God in your life. You find a good Bible teaching, preaching church. You get in there and you work for the Lord, and you'll find that you'll have treasure unseen. The world may not see it, but God knows about you, and He knows about all that you're laying up for the future in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. He told this man, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But yet, not far is not good enough. That separation that comes. You know, the rich man cried out, would you let Lazarus bring just some water and put it on my tongue? Would you let him go back and tell my five brethren not to come to this awful place? What Jesus said, there is a gulf fixed between you and him. He cannot go back to you. He cannot pass through time and go back to yonder's world, but you, your destiny is sealed now, and your five brothers that are still there in the world, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they would not believe one though he rose from the dead and went back and taught them and told them about the witness. You know what we would say? That sounds like hogwash, but praise God, we've got records of a man who did die and on the third day was resurrected. He lives and reigns, and he is still saving people from a devil's hell. This man was not far from the kingdom of God. Can I be candid on a Sunday morning and preach what God put on my heart? We've got a lot of good people. You got a lot of good family. We've got good people with us this morning. But I'm so worried about them. I'm worried about you that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I go to church. I didn't ask you if you go to church. Do you know of a time and a place where your heart was broken by the Holy Spirit, and you saw yourself lost and undone, and you made a decision to step out and believe upon Jesus Christ with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? Or many of them just go down to an altar and say a little prayer and tell the church they're better because of a circumstance that they're in. The Bible says worldly sorrow is not good enough. It takes a godly sorrow in order to be saved. I've seen people that got in trouble, got in trouble with the law, got in trouble with mom and dad, got in trouble with the church. And the preacher would preach, invitation would be given, and they'd go up and pray, thinking that was going to take care of their situation. Folks, the only thing that will take care of your situation is a personal knowledge that I've been to the river, I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and God has saved my dying soul. Jesus told this young man, or this man, I don't know how young he was. I believe in the book of Luke it says that he was a lawyer. It does say he was a lawyer. I thought it said he was a young man, but it really doesn't matter how young or old you are. See, you have a decision to make. You may have good mom and dad, good grandma or grandpa. You may have good family. But I hear the preachers of old say it, you're not going to make it in on daddy's shirt tail. You've got to make it in on your own. It's a decision you have to make individually. And I hear that song from years gone by. The best thing I ever did do was I laid down the old coat and I put on the new. Amen. Is he not the best thing that's ever happened to you? I've made some good decisions in my lifetime. A lot of good decisions. But I've also made a lot of bad decisions. But I'm here on a Sunday morning to tell you the best decision I ever made was not just to be almost saved. You know what almost saved means? Totally lost. Not just to be almost saved, but the best decision I made was to step out and receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And that was back in 1972. I know some of you have been saved a lot longer than I have been, but today, can I get a witness on a Sunday morning? I wouldn't take nothing for my journey with the Lord. He's been with me all through my time here upon this earth. And through the bad decisions, he's been there. Through the good decisions, he's been there. Through times of uncertainty, God has been there for us. This man, see, he was a doctor or teacher of the law. He knew what the word said. You know what the Bible says. You know that there is a God. You know that there is a Jesus Christ. And you know that he has a Holy Spirit. You know all about these things. Church, help me this morning. You know all about these. I've often recited in my testimony, I grew up singing the songs in Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, Father Abraham. Amen. And many more other stories. I knew what the shortest verse in the Bible is. Jesus wept. I knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I knew those. I was so close. But yet when the Holy Spirit came by my way and knocked on my heart's door, I realized how far away I was from knowing Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. But church, can I get some help as I close this morning? But I'm glad that the preacher and the Holy Spirit did not leave me there, but even told me as far away from God as I was close enough that if I would reach out, I could touch the hem of his garment and I would be made new by the Spirit of God. You say, did you really touch the hem of his garment? No, I took him by the hand and he walks with me and he talks with me and tells me I'm his child. You see, I believe a lot of people have a head knowledge of God. That's what this scribe had. But not so many today have a heart knowledge of God. I said many years ago in a message, Brother Lloyd, what you have up here needs to move about 18 inches lower. And that's just a point of reference. You mean, is that where the soul was at? I don't know where the soul was at, but I know this. God gave every one of us a soul. Every one of us. And can I preach this morning? The only ones going to heaven is those that got a soul that's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. His atonement is sufficient for me. This man was so close, but yet he is so far away. I ask you this morning to look in your heart. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? You say, well, I know of Him. You could ask Donald Trump if he knows of Roger Grammer, and he'd say, no, I don't know that name. But if you ask God, does He know Roger Grammer? He'd say, yeah, I remember him when he was fit to die and go to hell. But my son stood in his stead and said, Dad, you know, that's what Jesus does. He takes the hand of a sinner and takes the hand of his Father and brings us together. Hallelujah. He brings us together because no man can go to the Father except through and by the Son. And no man can come to the Son unless the Father, which is in heaven, draws him. You say, that's so confusing. No, it's simple. It takes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for you to be saved. I know that there are places today, churches that will tell you that if you'll just confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth, you're saved. I know they're taking that from the scripture in the book of Romans. But there's more to it than just saying it with your mouth. Oh, the Holy Spirit just took me back to when I was lost and I stepped out and received the Lord. Sister Rachel, with my mouth, I couldn't say anything. But with my heart, I cried out to God. You say, you didn't have to give a testimony? I stood there in front of the church. How many of you remember your day? I stood there in front of the church with tears. And the preacher said, do you feel like the Lord saved you? And I shook my head, yes. That was enough for the church. That was enough for heaven. And if you could, with the ear, you could almost hear the rejoicing in the presence of the angels. See, so we used to sing songs and we used to preach, no doubt, that the angels rejoiced when I got saved. The Bible says that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. You say, well, who's rejoicing? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then the angels join in with them. Rejoicing that I got saved, and not because I'm anybody special, but if you've been saved, they rejoiced on your day as well. But this morning, we do not find where this man ever took that step and said, I believe with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God won't take part of you. He won't take part of you. He wants all of you, or you'll have no part in the kingdom of God. People say, that's selfish of God. God has a plan. And whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. And all those that reject Him shall be damned to eternal hell. You say, Roger, that's hard. Folks, the Bible is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And if any man tells you that you can get any other way, Paul gave them guidance, mark them and stay away from them. Amen? How many of you heard messages that you just shook your head at and said, I don't know where they got that from? Right? It's almost like your pastor the other Sunday when I said, open up to the book of Solomon. Becky said, you know there is a book of Solomon. I texted her back and said, when you have so much coming at you at one time, you don't know. Sometimes it's easy to get tongue-tied. It's easy sometimes to even forget your name. But one thing I don't forget, I've been saved by the grace of God. Gilbert, I was so close. And church, let me close with this final thought. To those that are so close, you know what helps persuade them to go just a little bit further and get the full package of being into the kingdom of God? Is an old-time church praying. We've forgotten that we have part in a person's salvation. Every one of us, you say, it's the preachers preaching that did it. No, it's the church that did it. Because a mother cannot give birth to a child if she has no strength. I ask you this morning, how close are you? Are you sitting in a pew? Rob and Sharon, get us a song. You're looking good. You look like a Christian. You talk like a Christian. You act like a Christian. But yet, you've not been saved. I know a lot of good people. You know a lot of good people. I know folks that would give you the shirt off their back. But that doesn't mean they're saved. I know people that I could be broke down on interstate and I could call them and they would come and help me. Does not mean that they are saved. Just because you're a good person doesn't mean that you are in the kingdom of God. In fact, I say it just from my heart this morning. There's a lot of people that are lost that are better than those that's been saved. Oh, you say, how could that be? Because they've been saved and then they've gotten calloused. How many of y'all have ever been taken advantage of? Raise your hands in the house of God. And every time you get taken advantage of, you say, I ain't going to do that no more. Right? You're in God's house. You can say amen. But as soon as somebody else comes along with the need, you know what you do? You help them, because the Bible says, the second is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is my neighbor? Not necessarily the one who lives in the house next to you. Did you know you're sitting next to your neighbor this morning? Did you know your coworker is your neighbor? Those at the grocery store is your neighbor. Those that are downtrodden are your neighbors. Those that woke up this morning with a hangover is your neighbors. Those that shot up the needles last night is your neighbor. You say, Roger, they're bad people. Jim Holcomb, I believe this with all my heart. If it weren't for the grace of God, I and you would be as bad or worse than what they are. What separates us is that we weren't just close, but we took that next step and we got saved by the grace of God. And because of that, we are in the kingdom of God. You say, we're not in heaven yet. Where is the kingdom of God? It's in the hearts of his believers. Would you stand while they sing a verse of a song? I ask you this morning, how close are you to the kingdom of God? Are you in it or are you on the outside? You have to make that choice. Are you going to call upon him for forgiveness? Or are you going to stay where you're at? You're so close, but yet you're so far. Call upon him this morning and ask him for forgiveness of your sin. Call upon Him. And then tell the church about the change that took place in your life. Call upon Him this morning. Where could you go? Nowhere else but to God. One last verse. Are you in the kingdom of God, or are you standing on the outside looking in? Standing there just observing, but yet not participating because you've not been saved. Where could I go? Follow your heart this morning. This church loves you. We're praying for you. Yes. Where could you go? While they pause this morning, I believe God has spoken to your heart today. You say, do you say that often? I don't believe God gives us a message that doesn't go out and accomplish whereunto it is sent. He sends a message, but what you do with a message will determine whether it goes back to Him void or whether it goes back to Him with success. You see, you cannot blame the church. You cannot blame God. You can't blame anybody. How many of you know people that blame everybody else for all of their problems? Amen. You know what I find out most of the time? If I've got a problem, it's because I had a part in it. Amen. Bible says confession is good for the soul. But when I surrender all to the Lord, even those, you ever notice how good people look when you're full of the Holy Ghost and how bad they look when you're not? When God sees us, He sees us the same. That's my child. That's my child. Can we have one last verse, church? I don't mean to be weary upon you. But we got folks that God has spoke to today. I won't come back there and try to drag you, talk you into it. I learned a long time ago, if God's drawing power can't bring you, I certainly can't. But while God is speaking to you, now is the time that you ought to say, I've been close for a long time. I've been close, but I've never really taken that final step. I ask you on this Sunday morning, from the depths of my heart, would you make this that day? You say, but what would my family say? They think I'm already saved. I'll tell you what they'll think and say about it, is I'm glad that you found out before it was too late that you didn't have what you thought you did. What would my family say and friends say if I was to get saved? Well, there's some that will mock you, but there is a majority that will look at you and say, I'm so proud that you stepped out and received the Lord, because it lifts a burden off my heart. How many of you burdened for lost family this morning? It lifts a burden off my heart knowing that you're saved and you can help me pray for the rest of them. So while they sing this last verse, I ask you, make that step this morning to an old-fashioned altar right here. This church will join in with you, and we will pray with you and seek God on your behalf while they sing. Church, I believe that God has spoken to hearts this morning. I believe that He has revealed unto them that they're close, but they're not there. They're not there. In life, there's a lot of things, events, that you can be close, and it's good enough. We live in a time that you can lose the race and still get a trophy. Amen? With God, He says, unless you know Him and a free pardon of sin, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And the only ones that will get a crown are those that have been to the river and been baptized by the Holy Spirit. You're close. I'll give these final closing words. Maddie was close a couple years ago. In the service, she was close. But she wasn't there. And if I recall correctly, when she got out to the car, she couldn't put out of her mind how close she was, because God was still dealing with her. But even in that car, she crossed the line, and God saved her soul. You say, I thought I had to be in church to be saved. No, you've got to hear the word, and then you can be saved. She got saved out there in the parking lot. Amen. Some of these got saved at home. Some of them got saved downstairs. I got saved at an old-fashioned altar. You say, didn't they have to have an altar? The Bible teaches us you can make an altar anywhere and call upon the Lord, as long as God is dealing with your heart. I pray for you this morning. I pray for you because by being close, you're so far away. What would happen? What would happen if you was called into eternity being so close? You lived a good life. You knew about God. You respected God. You respected His Son. You respected the church. But you still died and would have to go to a devil's hell with the vilest of sinners, with the atheist who say there is no God. You know what the scripture says? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know that there is a God. I appreciate your prayers this morning, church. Don't give up praying. Maybe somebody will get on the phone this afternoon and say, my loved one, my friend that was with us, or maybe I that was at church this morning, I didn't step out, but God's Spirit wouldn't leave me, and I made an altar, and I called upon Him, and He saved my soul. Wouldn't that be wonderful news, church? Be wonderful news. God bless you. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? I guess Brother Ron and Terry back there, I had to look for him. He was missing in action. And Brother Lloyd, that, and our trustees, sooner or later, we're going to have to make a decision about church and what to do going forward. And I know it's scary, but I don't know how much longer we could put God on the back burner. How many of you agree with me? Would you raise your hands in the house of the Lord? You say, Roger, that means we'll get more exposure. Well, we go to work, We go to the grocery store. None of you saying amen. Okay, you go to the grocery store. Some of us do work. Some of us go to the grocery store. Some of us go other places as well. Right? Am I preaching the truth? So we're going to have to make a decision. I want you to be praying about it. And open back up for Sunday school. We're missing our teaching. And we need teaching. So I want you to be praying about it. All right? I say that we say, draw a line in the sand and say, let's start back so that we could be together and learn more about God. God bless you. Have a great week. Come out Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. 6:30. I always want to say 6 o'clock. 6:30. Get here at 6. 6:30 on Wednesday night, and we'll worship the Lord all over again. Just come back, and we invite the young man back there to come back and be with us anytime that he can. The rest of you, we expect to see you each and every time we gather in the house of the Lord. God bless you today.